The Summa Theologiae by St. Thomas Aquinas. Third part, question 75, transubstantiation. Article 1. Whether the body of Christ be in this sacrament in very truth, or merely as in a figure or sign. St. Hilary says, "There is no room for doubt regarding the truth of Christ's body and blood. For now by our Lord's own declaring and by our faith, his flesh is truly food and his blood is truly drink." St. Ambrose says, "As the Lord Jesus Christ is God's true Son, so is it Christ's true flesh which we take and his true blood which we drink." The presence of Christ's true body and blood in this sacrament cannot be detected by sense nor understanding, but by faith alone, which rests upon divine authority. Hence, on Luke 22:19, "This is my body which shall be delivered up for you," St. Cyril says, "Doubt not whether this be true, but take rather the Savior's words with faith, for since he is the truth, he lieth not." Now this is suitable, first, for the perfection of the new law, for the sacrifices of the old law contained only in figure that true sacrifice of Christ's passion, according to Hebrews 10:1, for the law having a shadow of the good things to come, not the very image of things. And therefore it was necessary that the sacrifice of the new law instituted by Christ should have something more, namely that it should contain Christ himself crucified, not merely in signification or figure, but also in very truth. And therefore this sacrament which contains Christ himself, as Dionysius says, is perfective of all the other sacraments in which Christ's virtue is participated. Secondly, this belongs to Christ's love, out of which for our salvation he assumed a true body of our nature. And because it is the special feature of friendship to live together with friends, as Aristotle says, he promises us his bodily presence as a reward, saying in Matthew 24:28, "Where the body is, there shall the eagles be gathered together." Yet meanwhile in our pilgrimage he does not deprive us of his bodily presence, but unites us with himself in this sacrament through the truth of his body and blood. Hence in John 6:57 he says, "He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood abideth in me, and I in him." Hence this sacrament is the sign of supreme charity and the uplifter of our hope from such familiar union of Christ with us. Thirdly, it belongs to the perfection of faith, which concerns his humanity just as it does his Godhead, according to John 14:1, "You believe in God, believe also in me." And since faith is of things unseen, as Christ shows us his Godhead invisibly, so also in this sacrament he shows us his flesh in an invisible manner. Some men, accordingly, not paying heed to these things, have contended that Christ's body and blood are not in this sacrament except as in a sign, a thing to be rejected as heretical, since it is contrary to Christ's words. Hence Berengarius, who had been the first deviser of this heresy, was afterwards forced to withdraw his error and to acknowledge the truth of the faith. Article 2. Whether the substance of the bread and wine remain after the consecration. Some have held that the substance of the bread and wine remains in this sacrament after the consecration. But this opinion cannot stand, first of all because by such an opinion the truth of this sacrament is destroyed, to which it belongs that Christ's true body exists in this sacrament, which indeed was not there before the consecration. Now a thing cannot be in any place where it was not previously, except by change of place, or by the conversion of another thing into itself, just as fire begins anew to be in some house, either because it is carried there, or because it is generated there. Now it is evident that Christ's body does not begin to be present in this sacrament by local motion, first of all because it would follow that it would cease to be in heaven, for what is moved locally does not come anew to some place unless it quit the former one. Secondly, because every body moved locally passes through all intermediary spaces, which cannot be said here. Thirdly, because it is not possible for one movement of the same body locally to be terminated in different places at the one time, whereas the body of Christ under this sacrament begins at the one time to be in several places, in several masses. And consequently, it remains that Christ's body cannot begin to be anew in this sacrament except by change of the substance of bread into itself. But what is changed into another thing no longer remains after such change. Hence the conclusion is that, saving the truth of this sacrament, the substance of the bread cannot remain after the consecration. Secondly, because this position is contrary to the form of this sacrament in which it is said, "This is my body," which would not be true if the substance of the bread were to remain there, for the substance of bread never is the body of Christ. Rather, should one say in that case, "Here is my body." Thirdly, because it would be opposed to the veneration of this sacrament if any substance were there which could not be adored with the adoration of latria. Fourthly, because it is contrary to the rite of the Church, according to which it is not lawful to take the body of Christ after bodily food, while it is nevertheless lawful to take one consecrated host after another. Hence, this opinion is to be avoided as heretical. Article 4. Whether bread can be converted into the body of Christ. Since Christ's true body is in this sacrament, and since it does not begin to be there by local motion, nor is it contained therein as in a place, it must be said then that it begins to be there by conversion of the substance of bread into itself. Yet this change is not like natural changes, but is entirely supernatural and affected by God's power alone. Hence St. Ambrose says, "See how Christ's word changes nature's laws as he wills. A man is not wont to be born save of man and woman. See therefore that against the established law and order, a man is born of a virgin. It is clear that a virgin begot beyond the order of nature. Why then do you look for nature's order in Christ's body, since the Lord Jesus was himself brought forth of a virgin beyond nature?" St. John Chrysostom likewise says, on John 6:64, "The words which I have spoken to you are spirit and life," says, "He means spiritual, having nothing carnal nor natural consequence, but they are rent from all such necessity which exists upon earth, and from the laws here established. For it is evident that every agent acts according as it is in act, but every created agent is limited in its act as being of a determinate genus and species, and consequently the action of every created agent bears upon some determinate act. Now the determination of everything in actual existence comes from its form. Consequently, no natural or created agent can act except by changing the form in something. And on this account, every change made according to nature's laws is a formal change. But God is infinite act. Hence his action extends to the whole nature of being. Therefore he can work not only formal conversion, so that diverse forms succeed each other in the same subject, but also the change of all being, so that, to wit, the whole substance of one thing be changed into the whole substance of another. And this is done by divine power in this sacrament, for the whole substance of the bread is changed into the whole substance of Christ's body, and the whole substance of the wine into the whole substance of Christ's blood. Hence this is not a formal, but a substantial conversion, nor is it a kind of natural movement, but, with a name of its own, it can be called transubstantiation. Article 7. Whether this change is wrought instantaneously. As stated above, this change is affected by a power which is infinite, to which it belongs to operate in an instant. A change may be instantaneous from a threefold reason. First, on the part of the form, which is the terminus of the change. For if it be a form that receives more and less, it is acquired by its subject successively, such as health. And therefore, because a substantial form does not receive more and less, it follows that its introduction into matter is instantaneous. Secondly, on the part of the subject, which sometimes is prepared successively for receiving the form, thus water is heated successively. When, however, the subject itself is in the ultimate disposition for receiving the form, it receives it suddenly, as a transparent body is illuminated suddenly. Thirdly, on the part of the agent, which possesses infinite power, wherefore it can instantly dispose the matter for the form. Thus it is written in Mark 7:34 that when Christ said, "Ephphatha," which is, "Be thou opened," immediately his ears were opened, and the string of his tongue was loosed. For these three reasons, this conversion is instantaneous. First, because the substance of Christ's body, which is the term of this conversion, does not receive more or less. Secondly, because in this conversion there is no subject to be disposed successively. Thirdly, because it is affected by God's infinite power.